Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This time on Vet Story.
All right, it was a chance encounter that has gone viral.
Retired Army veteran Anthony Maggart, who lost his leg in Afghanistan.
Wait. I have to stop you there. People talk about wounded warriors. If you're an amputee, it's different. Wounds heal, amputations don't.
Former Secretary of State Colin Powell got roadside help yesterday.
Rat race got you down?
Stop to help a stranger, change a flat tire.
I mean, I feel like I robbed the liquor store. Like, dude, it was such a brief incident. Like, why is it such a big deal? Definitely update your Facebook. You know, if you're ever going to go viral, they're going to follow your Facebook first.
General Powell later thanked him on Facebook.
So ultimately, he said, I didn't know I was going to have to get a selfie to get my tire changed, you know?
Welcome to Vet Story. I'm your host, Navy veteran Phil Briggs. And as you heard in our intro, our guest today is a military veteran. He's a chef. He's an amputee. And he's got one hell of a story. You're officially now on your 16th minute of fame.
Yes.
But I first saw Tony Mad Dog Maggart in a picture on a side of the road changing the tire of General Colin Powell. Selfie there right next to the Beltway just outside Washington, D.C. One tall, handsome General Colin Powell, one bald, bearded, gingered badass standing next to him. And you're in the studio with me today, Tony Maggart. Pleasure to meet you, sir.
The pleasure is all yours, really. Thank you for having me.
I couldn't help but like read through the bullet points of your story and see a couple colorful expressions and thought, wow, this guy's got a sense of humor about this whole thing. You must be quite a character. And then I called you, and I want to say like not 5 minutes into our phone conversation when we hooked up last week, man, you're blowing my mind, dude. You're talking about, you know, we're joking on your love of sausage. And of course, the jokes are flying back and forth. And because I'm in the Navy and you're a former Marine, you know, you're thinking.
We all love sausage. We love to put it in our mouth. Come on. Let's not lie to each other.
And then the whole thing about like, you know, from military to wounded warrior to, you know, battling back from Bethesda and then.
Wait. I have to stop you there. People talk about wounded warriors. If you're an amputee, it's different. Wounds heal, amputations don't.
So I already got it
so
wrong.
So it's not a wound, you know? Wounds heal, amputations don't. I've been drinking milk. I've tried everything. The doctors have hey, is it vitamin D? Is it skin milk? I don't know, but not 1 inch in 4 years.
It's just not growing back.
It's
Damn
not
it.
Growing back. I've gone to these Asian, you know, foot massage places. They still charge me full amount. Right. I'm like, I just want half price, you know, can I get a little stump massage too, you know, so.
See, and that's exactly what I mean. So then I look you up on Facebook too, just to kind of get like the bigger picture of who is Chef Mad Dog Maggart, and I see you in, where is it? You're at Walter Reed, and you've got a prosthetic, and you're playing it like a guitar. It was just last week. Did you put up a picture of you?
Yeah, these guys are great at Walter Reed. I love them.
You're like holding up a leg, and then here you are. You got like the whole like Skinner ZZ Top beard thing happening, and you're like playing this prosthetic leg like a Stratocaster. I'm like, who is this guy?
People think the best is like Rebecca the nurse in the background, you know, who like does her prosthetics and stuff. Her look is pretty timeless.
Oh, like, no, right. They're all like, you know, kind of going, what the is he doing?
Yeah.
So I knew I had to have you in here, and I don't even care where this interview goes. I just want to record like literally, you know, 20, 30 minutes
it
hanging
go
out with
to
you.
Be a big deal. So then I become famous and then I can find some other line of work, you know, besides changing General's tires for free on the side of the road.
Random auto maintenance on the highway. Yeah, no right. doubt. That can't pay well.
So Howard Stern, if you're listening, dude, I'm available. Really?
That's great.
I'll go shirtless like Adam Levine too.
Oh, please don't. Please, for God's
sake. Okay.
No, that's good. Where do we even start, brother? Let's get to know you real quick. Service history, background. I want to hit a couple things about your service history because in the few minutes that we've already been recording, I now know you've been in three different branches of the military, and that matches your three limbs.
Right, three limbs, yeah. Two arms and one leg. Half leg, half leg. You know, it's like half and half, you know?
Go ahead.
It's not real cream. It's not real milk. It's half and half.
Go ahead. Hit me up. How did it start? What made you join the military, and where was your where did your path start?
If I could take you back on this whimsical journey, there I was, 17 years old. All my high school buddies were going to join the Marine Corps, and we all thought that that was cool. And they got out, and I sort of didn't. So after I did my 4 years in the Marine Corps, you know, after the wonderful offering, they said, you know, we're going to send you to 29 Palms. I was like, oh, I'm just going to get out. And so I went and I finished my undergrad. And so all those gunnies told me, like, yeah, you'll never commission. And I was like, I want to commission in the Air Force just to spite you guys. So I did that. So huge shout out to Greg Vanover, if you're listening, because he was one of the guys who said that I would not do that. I did do that. And then I commissioned in the Air Force for like whatever reason.
That's crazy. Talk to me about the era you were in the Marine Corps then. Was it 90s? Was it?
Yeah, 1995 to 99. So I did three years at Bogue Field down at halfway between Cherry Point, Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. I did my last year in Okinawa, which I don't remember any of, but pictures show that I was having a really great time.
Which is one of the duty stations I wanted because when I joined to be a radio DJ. Like, that's all I wanted to do was go Adrian Cronauer.
Because you were watching Good Morning Vietnam on VHS tapes.
And the dude
stuff,
behind,
you know?
Me at A school got orders to Sasebo, and I got the lucky envelope. There's two envelopes left on his, you know, on the chief's desk, and we each picked one. And I got the one to the USS John C. Stennis, where I could broadcast live from an aircraft carrier to no one cared. And he got a chance to go to Sasebo, Japan and be part of, you know, Armed Forces Radio and Television, and the rest is history.
Dude, that's awesome.
He's probably network news and I'm making a podcast, so sucks. But we were in the same era then. Okay, so 90s. It was like Bill Clinton's Navy, right? Everybody's doing AOL and the internet is all brand new, and you and I are grunts on a military base. You get out and then you went to college?
Yeah. So I went to finish my undergrad at Southern Illinois University. So it was kind of crazy when I was in the Marine Corps.
Normal. Ain't nothing normal about Normal, Illinois.
No. So when I was in the Marine Corps, you know, when people had extra duty and stuff like that, they would pay me to take their extra duty for them. And I would just like sit there and do homework and stuff for college. So when I got out of the Marine Corps, I had 97 credit hours. So and a bunch of cash. It was awesome.
Whoa. Okay. So smarter than you look. Nice.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And then of course, transitioned out of school and you said, okay, so you're going to now go back and
no, the Air Force
be
was
an
like,
officer.
As soon as I got out, it was crazy because I thought that there would be like a Navy Marine Corps ROTC, which I totally didn't know what that even meant, you know?
Right.
And the school's like, hey, we have Air Force ROTC. So I went to the Air Force and they were like, dude, you have 97 credit hours. We can send you to our little field training thing and we'll start paying you right away. And I'm like, dude, I've got money for like taking cash, you know? So I spent a year and 9 months doing this undergrad thing and got the living off the GI Bill. And I had this little girlfriend, old Heather at the time. So she was going to be victim number one. I was like, this girl right here, I want to take her out. The first night that I was at school, and we've been together for 20 years now. So
longest one night stand of her life.
The longest one night stand ever. So she's like, when is this date going to be over? You know?
God bless. That's awesome.
Yeah, and so I did the Air Force, you know, from 2001 until 2005, and I started doing this acquisitions thing, and then I was going to get out because the Air Force was firing people. Thank you, Air Force. I called up the Army, and they were like, dude, you can read and count. Come on over, man. We'll give you $50,000. And I'm like, dude, I'll do anything for money, clearly. So
Right.
Yeah.
2001 through 2005. So your Air Force, when 9/11 happens. Where'd you go?
I was out at Vandenberg Air Force Base out on the West Coast. And so I'll never forget, like, when this thing hit, I was getting coffee at the Exxon gas station. They were like, dude, somebody ran a plane into the Twin Towers. So I was like, yeah, so they've done that before. You know, it was a little commuter jet. So I didn't think that it was like a huge deal. And it didn't really hit me. And then I got home and my wife was like freaking out. And then all of a sudden the phone starts ringing and you're on recall, you know, and everything has changed since then. Our entire world has changed. So
what was your MOS in the Air Force then?
So I was an acquisitions guy, and so I was acquisitions finance, which it switched from like 63 alpha or whatever. They change it all the time, you know?
Right, right, right. So, but you're basically buying parts for planes or ensuring that the command has the equipment and tools.
Yeah, out there I was doing a major rocket program, which became ultimately United Launch Alliance, because Congress got a hold and says, hey, you need two major manufacturers, Boeing and Lockheed, to come together on this thing. And so it was a very small $32 billion rocket program.
Yeah. So, pocket change to the budget. All right, very cool. So you then transfer from Air Force to Army.
Yeah.
And were you officer in the Army?
So I was officer in the Air Force, officer in the Army.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to wake up anymore, so being enlisted wasn't going to work out too hot for me.
So you were what, like a captain in the Army, or you were a...
you start out, and you know, second lieutenant, little butter bar, and... You know?
Oh, really? They made you start from 01 and work your way back up?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, you do the whole thing. You know, so you're a hot butter bar, and then you're a first lieutenant, and then a captain, then a major, and then they're like, you want to be a lieutenant colonel? And I'm like, dude, I got one leg. You guys put me on a walking profile for whatever stupid reason. You know, I'm like, I've done your PFT. Like, what's the deal? So I can run. It's okay, you know?
Talk to me about where the Army took you, because I'd imagine this is where... The day you'll never forget happened.
The crazy thing was I was in the Air Force, and I was doing this like security forces thing for like a hot second in 2003. And all of a sudden, like here I was, I was a first lieutenant at the time. And they were like, hey, we have this mission for you. We don't have any details on it, but you're going to take, you know, 137 people to this place, you know, and like there was very vague details, you know. So we go to this place in very northern Saudi Arabia with all of these folks. We take over this little airport and stuff. If you heard about a guy named Brian Colfidge, I was out there with Brian Colfidge before he got injured.
The gentleman that's now building the wall himself, the triple amputee.
That Brian Colfidge. So I have pictures of him and I when we were together back when he had limbs, you know, back when I had limbs. And then, you know, that mission thing sort of happened and he went off to different places, you know, and he got injured, got hit by the mortar or whatever. That's when everything kicked off for, OIF. It was crazy. I mean, I had no clue. So we got to, where we were on March the 9th. That was my birthday. March 19th, everything kicked off. It was like a wild time.
The injury itself, the day that happened, that was in Saudi Arabia.
No. My injury happened in Afghanistan, 2011. So I was just doing a deployment. So I deployed into 03, 05, 09, 2011 to Afghanistan. And then I was just in Afghanistan last year in 2017. So since I lost my leg, I thought I'd go back and look for it or whatever. But no luck. I couldn't find it.
I love you, dude. You know? That is so freaking awesome. Tell me more about your deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan then. You were part of... Because I'm just a little confused. You were Army officer at the time, or were you Air Force
in 2003, and then in 2005, and then you know, then in 2005 I transitioned over. You know, into doing the Army thing, and I was just always addicted to doing the downrange thing. I mean, I always liked it. You like always feel so alive, you know, in that environment. So it's like,
and you were enlisted first, so I've always found that the officers I really appreciated and liked came through the ranks, and they were not the officers that wanted to just sit still and do planning or paper.
No, you're like hanging out in the talk and, you know, like,
right. Yeah.
Hey, I'm watching CNN. This is really great. Look what's going on outside the wire. You know, I'm like, no, let's get out on the streets, man. Let's meet some of these people. Why are you shooting at us? We just gave your kids candy. What's wrong with you?
If you could elaborate with me on the mission then that you were on that day. The day that you lost your leg.
Oh, so I actually, truth be told, I didn't lose my leg to an IED. Like, that would have been a cooler story. But truth in lending, I broke my leg. I folded it in half out at Fort Irwin. And they put all this hardware in my leg. And so they were like, hey, we need you to deploy. And I told the medical staff, I'm like, yo, they want me to deploy. And they were like, okay, well, you can come back in a year and we'll take all this hardware out. So then I'm in Afghanistan and all of a sudden I feel something. I'm like, dude, this feels weird. They take an x-ray, like, yeah, the screw that's in your ankle is coming out. We got to take this out. So they fly me to Qatar. They take all of the hardware out of my leg. And then like 10 days later, my leg's getting brighter and brighter red, you know, and I have this giant boil. And so I'm at the cache and they lance the boil and it's full of necrotic flesh, you know, it's like all rotten. And I could reach down and touch the bone because you can't feel anything. It's all dead at that point, you know? And so I'm like, huh, this is kind of a game changer. And they were like, dude, we've got to get you out of here, man. Like, you're not going to make it. We have a contract with the locals and stuff, and we can get maggots, and we'll try to do what we can to like try to keep you alive or whatever. And so, and literally 17 minutes later, like the C-130 like comes flying in. They're like, you're out of here. So
they didn't want to alarm you, but they were like, you need to be seen
you got to get out of here quick, you know? And so they start hopping me around Afghanistan, you know, every place I would go, they would open the wound up, you know, clean it out, do a debridement or whatever, you know, to get me back to Longstuhl. And, you know, when I was in Longstuhl, they're like, dude, your white blood cell count is so high. We don't think you're going to make it through the night. And I was like, dude, this is crazy.
God
and
bless.
So, and they hadn't contacted my wife at that point. I'm like, quarantined, and I'm like all alone or whatever. And it's like you get that kind of news and you're like, dude, this is like how the lights are going to shut out. This is maddening.
Yeah.
And so that night I just like I just gently went to sleep, you know, but then the next day I woke up and I'm like, dude, I'm gonna live every day like it's my last day from here on out, man. Like, that, this is just too crazy. And ultimately, they got a hold of my wife and they were like, hey, your husband's really sick. We don't know where he is. We don't know if he's going to make it. And so my wife is stuck by me the entire time, you know. And so I ultimately made it back to the States, and, you know, they continued to patch everything up. And then they try to salvage the leg like they do because, you know, orthopedic surgeons are just big babies, you know, mostly West Point folks. So. And I was like, and after 4 years, I was like, dude, I've got a life. I got to continue to live, man. I'm going to get this leg cut off, you know.
Yeah.
And so I did that and did all the paperwork, went to JAG, and they were cool with everything. And then the medical staff was like, dude, we're going to be on CNN if we don't take care of this. So then they cut the leg off, and it's been, you know, it's been great ever since. You know, shopping is really a pleasure when you have handicapped parking placards and stuff, you know?
Oh my God, I envy you at Christmas time.
I know. I mean, I know. I'm telling you. Yeah. It's like a huge deal, you know, for like, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, you know, on Friday, it's massive.
That is awesome. And it's that spirit, dude, that I think is so amazing, and that I know it's translating in this podcast, but it's something I want to get out of.
They can almost visualize my face, even though they can't really see me. But if you go on Chef Mad Dog Maggard, you can see what I look like.
a much younger Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top with like some killer kick-ass metal hardware.
Yeah.
Down there. No, it's that attitude. It's that spirit. It's that grit. It's that, listen, this is happening. This has happened. I'm gonna move forward, and we're gonna live, because, you know, too many people.
Because anybody can die, right?
Well, I mean, it's the thing. Too many of us spend our time, like, I'm on the highway every day commuting out of the city, and I, you know, I look, and it's like everyone's mad. Everyone's ticked off. Most people are on their damn phones. But
that's because your phone is so small and it's hard to text and drive. Everybody knows that. You know what I mean?
But everyone's angry, and you really, to me, reinforce that, hey, today's going to be a great day because you're having it, bro. You're in it, and it's, you know, you've been given
it. Yeah, I totally don't get that, right? Like, so, like, you came in this morning, and you're outside, and you talk to people about the weather, whatever, especially around here. It's like, yeah, but it can change in 2 days. I'm like, dude, but it's righteous, like, right now. Like, it's 60 degrees. Like, yeah. Dude, I'm going to get my Speedo on, and I'm going to walk around D.C., man. It's going to be, like, it's a nice day.
I mean, that I kind of want to see. We're going to make a viral moment out of that. Okay, let me see. Where the hell were we? Okay, so we're done. We're coming out of Walter Reed. You've seen, you know, some incredible doctors. You've had some incredible, you know, just heroic things done to save your life, really, because your limb had the flesh-eating bacteria.
Yeah.
And you really, I mean, it was, you could have died at many points along that journey, but you made it through. You're ready to go. You're feeling the spirit.
I ripped my finger off wakeboarding with a buddy of mine, and we were fraternizing because he was still in. I was still in. So huge shout out to former Sergeant First Class Jesse Keller. We're both civilians now. He lives in Preston, Idaho.
And what you can't even see right now is just amazing. It's the middle finger, and you're... sure as shit right. The tip of that thing's gone.
I ripped off because we were like, dude, I'm like, let's go wakeboard. And they're like, you think you can wakeboard with a prosthetic? I'm like, I don't know. Let's try this thing and figure it out.
And in doing so, you don't hurt your leg or your limb or any part of
I just ripped my finger off.
Rip your freaking finger off.
And I called all my wife's friends to be like, dude, I don't know what to do. I don't want to tell Heather. And I show up at the airport with my hand behind my back, like some 5-year-old. You just had a bad report card, you know? And she's like, why are you standing like that? I'm like, I don't know.
Nothing. No reason.
Yeah. You're
Christ. Okay. So here we are. We're invincible now. We're missing a leg. We're missing part of a finger, but we're still moving on. Shit's good. Where did you go from there? Because now you're what, medically retired, or you're moving on to your second life now?
Actual retirement, 23 years in the military. So when I was coming back from Afghanistan last year, I was out there serving for General Thorogood. Very nice guy, yells a lot, you know. I hope to hook up with him again.
Right.
He was a 2-star general, and the 3-star had just become a 3-star. And so there was no lateral movement for him. And so I was like, dude, this is my moment of being honest. And I was like, General Thorogood, you're not going to get promoted again, and neither am I. And I've given 23 years and a leg to this army. I'm taking it to the house. And all of a sudden, he's like, fair enough.
Well, I mean, like, no one's going to call you out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you gave him a leg.
You can. I mean, you know, it's no big deal. So I was like, yeah, it's time to do something different, man. Like, this is boring. I've got to find some general and change his tire on the beltway. I got to do something, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So now, obviously, you've then retired and you've picked, you know, you've picked the culinary path, right? Or was that kind of immediate?
Yeah, that was
to
all part of it. You know, I was working for a contractor and stuff, and for a little while, and I was going to culinary school on the weekend. So I was like back to not seeing the family again because I was working during the week down here in downtown DC. And then on the weekend, I would leave on Friday night and get on the Vamoose bus and go to New York and then do the culinary thing. And then I would come back on Sunday night and then like continue to do it over and over and over again, you know? So like for well over half a year, you know, I'm seeing the family for 6 to 8 hours a week.
Oh, it was like being deployed again. Yeah. Cause you're missing those moments, but you end up getting certified by what was the school?
Oh, the Institute of Culinary Education. Yeah.
Okay. ICE.
Yeah. ICE is the number one culinary school in the nation.
Oh, see,
right
there's
now.
Two
really
big
phenomenal.
Ones, right? There's ICE and then there's
the
one
Culinary Institute of America.
Right.
And then the Institute CIA. Of Culinary Education. So for a while I was like, oh, I'm going to go to the Culinary Institute of America. Cause that's awesome. And they were like, dude, we want you to do like undergrad work, like English 101. I'm like, well, dude, I already have 2 master's degrees. I kind of want to do that again, you know? So I'm totally cool. I'm here for cooking, you know? And I'm very military, so I don't want to learn anymore either. Like, learning how to cook is all I want to do. So now that I'm done at ICE, if anything remotely looks like learning, I'm out. I'm out. I'm going to do an about face with a fake leg, and I'm heading the other way. I'm like, I don't want to do any more learning.
What was your specialty that you picked up, or what part of cooking do you really like the best?
You know, I think it's like in most people's houses, they have all this common stuff, and people are still shopping and getting whatever because it feels good, you know? And I'm like, why not take these feel-good foods and stuff and, like, do really kind of, like, crazy things with them? Just like I was talking to some of the folks here, I've been thinking about a lot of stuff like, dude, why could you not make like a shepherd's pie and then process some Doritos and then put that on top of a shepherd's pie and put it back in the oven? Dude, that's some gangster food right there. That's awesome. So I was sitting there and I was thinking like, man, when I was a kid, man, I loved strawberry quick. So think about this technique. Like, why could I not make strawberry quick ice cream? I did that. Dude, it's phenomenal. Like, why not do these kinds of crazy things? Like taking these things that like you see every single day that are very pedestrian and make really like just totally different dishes. Because when you're coming from a culinary school like that, you know, like you can do Michelin-starred cuisine. You can do really high-end food and stuff. But like, why not take common ingredients, you know, and like transform them into something, you know? So you can literally like cook anything.
I like the term you used, pedestrian foods, right? Like the things every man has, every family has in the house.
You will
Doritos,
not catch me passing
goldfish.
Up a dirty water hot dog stand. I'm highly addicted to hot dogs. You know what I mean? And
that's actually, we talked about that before this, in addition to making pedestrian chic cuisine, your kind of niche thing. We'd also talked about meats and you're a meat stick guy. You're a sausage guy. Talk to me about your interests in those things.
So being military, we had some military predecessors before us, people like in the Roman Empire who were figuring out how they could like dry meats and, you know, get them so you could transport and conquer, you know, people's countries and stuff like that, you know. And
it's always handy to have a snack when doing that. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm sure that Genghis Khan was huge into Slim Jims. You know, he's like, when I go to Afghanistan and I burn your country to the ground and kill 2 million people, at least I've got some snack sticks to keep me going along the way. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think that it's super cool, you know, that you could like I'm big into charcuterie,
meats, cheeses,
yep. The, you know, all those things that are in line with a, you know, gourmet manger, you know, the cold plates and stuff.
But sure.
I think that these things are super cool, you know, that you can take something that can last like a long time. And so I think that that's really kind of fun. I mean, that's just something like, you go, hey, if I wanted to do something in the culinary world, what kinds of things do I like doing? You know, it's like making dry, semi-dry sausages and stuff like that, you know? And so being military, that's one of the things that, like, I was like, dude, I always wanted awesome meat sticks. So we started this thing called Primal Urge Foods, which you can find them on primalurgefoods.com. And they deliver meat sticks every single month. You know, they come out with different meat sticks. And so,
and a meat stick being something like a Slim Jim,
something,
right?
Like a Slim Jim. But there's so many companies out there that are like, hey, we're in Oregon and we only make 5,000 meat sticks a year. And these guys will call them up and go, dude, we need 5,000 meat sticks. You know, we want to place an order. And so it's really super cool.
So it's like the craft beer of meat sticks,
it's
right?
Craft
it's
beer
like
of
you,
meat sticks.
You call around and you find different places that
totally,
are making.
100%. So these guys are doing like turkey and sage.
Nice.
And so you go, these are phenomenal flavors and stuff, you know, like, why aren't there more things like that out there? So, you know, and I'm looking in putting together now, you know, a veteran-owned sausage business, because that's something that just doesn't exist out there. And there's so many folks, you know, you go out to the NX, the BX, you know, stuff like that,
right,
on the
right.
exchange, and people are like, you can only see like Johnsonville hot dogs or something like that. You
Jimmy
know,
Dean.
Like Jimmy yeah. Dean. Yeah. Right. All these commercialized names and stuff like that. But it's like, well, dude, why don't we go out there and make some really great stuff, you know, for folks out there that like give back to that veteran community? Because there's folks like Operation Second Chance out there that they're really doing a huge job giving back to veterans, you know, and like linking up going, hey, you know, I'm really stoked to see all these vets that are out there that are like, hey, let's come together, you know, and let's identify with who we are, you know, what makes us who we are as veterans and stuff. I think it's absolutely huge.
And it's become an attractive brand. I think America's finally kind of getting it right in some degree when it's not necessarily just thank you for your service and an airport and a handshake, but it's like we're loving veteran brands. We're loving it when we see veteran-owned, veteran-made, and we're seeing it reflected in sales of brands of coffee like Evan and Black Rifle. We're seeing it in t-shirts.
Hey, huge shout out to Black Rifle Coffee. Continue to keep up with me on Chef Mad Dog Maggart. we're going to be coming live, man. I want to get busy with this sausage and hot dog thing.
Love it, man. Tell me the name of the one sausage that you told me last week.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about for the Air Force, we'll create the Blue Falcon.
Right.
We were looking at a chicken with a sage.
Okay.
And blueberries. And so it's really a cool combination. And for the Marine Corps, you know, making like the devil dog.
I love it.
I just love hot dogs. I'm highly addicted to
the
hot dogs.
The devil dog, though, I could see that at like a major stadium in in Major League Baseball. Like,
Yeah.
You know, because every stadium's got their niche food. And I could see San Diego Padres, you know, home of the devil dog.
Home of the devil dog. You know? Yeah. The Nationals, home of the devil dog. You know what I mean? And so all these other folks, you know, especially around here, like the Cavs, the Nationals, stuff like that, you know, so when you're seeing people at these events and stuff, like, yeah, you know, this is like veteran central right here. So
that's awesome. And of course it would allow me as a Navy veteran to give you guys some shit and make fun of the fact that you really do love sausage and that, you know, it's not.
Yeah.
Just-
we're looking into something for the Navy, you know, a squid, hot dog squid. Sort of conglomeration, you know, the semen special.
I knew he was going to make the joke. I knew it. Damn it.
They were
Christ. All right. Let's end with where it all began. Tell me about that day. How the hell did that happen? You run into General Colin Powell. The next thing you know, you're on the evening news.
No, I didn't
news.
Run into General Colin Powell. I just saw somebody who was on the beltway on the side of the road, you know, and I'm like, dude, this is weird. There's not like 38 fire trucks that are blocking every lane, you know, so you can't go down the beltway. You know, it's like one car and somebody's out there fixing their tire. And as they got closer, I'm like,
was traffic moving at a fast clip? Because that was my first question. Like, how in the hell did you pull over time to get to see him?
Yeah, traffic was moving quick. You know, I mean, you see the car obviously on the side of the road, but I didn't know it was General Colin Powell. You just sort of like, you look over and you're like, oh, somebody needs help, you know? And then I got out and I was like, you're General Colin Powell, as I pointed out. And he goes, yes, I am. And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I got that right. It could have been so wrong, you know?
It could have been just a guy named Murray
like,
or something.
Okay, and, well, cool. Yeah. We'll still fix your tire, bar none. You know, but in the end, it was General Colin Powell. And, you know, I didn't really think anything of it. And then I went home that night and I was thinking about the events of the day. And I'm like, that was really kind of a cool experience because.
Yeah, let's pause right there before you get home. What was he like? I mean, obviously he sees you coming at him, bearded grizzly guy,
yeah, prosthetic tattoos, leg, fake
tatted
leg.
Up beard. He's like, oh my God, I got one of my boys here. I got one of my guys.
No, he was like, I don't know what's going to happen. This guy's probably got an axe, you know, going to chop me up, you know, no one will stop, you know, so.
No, what was he like though when you just, I mean, obviously you guys chatted and you he knows why you're there, but
when
guy?
You get around General Colin Powell, you're like, something is soothing in the air, man. His spirit about him is like so calming. It's the strangest thing. You're like,
He wasn't cursing and swearing like, my tire, my stupid tire. Where he wasn't all worked up.
No,
and bent
you're not
out of
like,
shape.
This is some crazy Bradley Cooper, you know, trying to make another movie, you know, like something like that. He's like, this guy is like, he's cool. He's like,
even keeled.
He's like, I'm 81. I'm changing my tire. What's going on? You know? And so these lug nuts are tight and it's 30 degrees outside. I'm like, I know, it's cool. Let's do this, you know? So
that's awesome.
And so neither of us, you know, it was like, dude, this is a shit. But you know how it is when you're in the military, you know, everything goes away. You like snap into, hey, there's a situation. I've got to help. However I can help. So if it was Halle Berry, you know, it would have been like, dude, I'll change your tire. You know, I wouldn't be like, dude, you're Halle Berry. Yes.
I know if it had been a supermodel, you'd have damn sure been tongue tied.
It was a supermodel, you know, General Colin Powell. You know what I mean?
You get next to like some super swimsuit model, and the next thing you know, you think you're being all smooth, and all that comes out is,
Tire?
Tire change. Okay.
Yeah, let's do that. You know? So I just jump out there, we changed the tire, and we went our separate ways. And then I went home that night, and I was just thinking about it. And I wrote this little paragraph that people have read or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yep.
I just sort of thought, wow, this is cool, man. This he did 35 years, and I did 23 years, and now we're passing the torch onto this new generation. You know, it's going to, you know, carry us forward.
All right, so we changed the tire, we took the selfies, we go on about our business. Talk to me about how like it all snowballed into like you going from a real quick blurb on Facebook to network news. Like, because dude, I literally saw you on three different networks within 24 hours of that happening.
No doubt. It was crazy. I got home and all of a sudden, like these news stations, like Shimani Stone, like calls me up and he's like, hey.
And did you even know who that was?
I didn't really know who it was. I don't really watch the news, you
right,
know?
Okay.
I'm like, I'm busy cooking.
Yeah.
You know? And so they were like, hey, we want to come interview you. We'll be at your house in an hour. And I'm like, okay.
They were already en route to your house.
They were en route to my house.
Whoa, that's kind of spooky. I mean,
well, I started getting all these calls and stuff from like all over the place. People are like, hey, we're tracking your background, which I come to find out, like, definitely update your Facebook. You know, if you're ever going to go viral, they're going to follow your Facebook first, you know?
Right.
So, and then CNN called me and they were like, hey, can we do an interview with you tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, but I got to go to New York because it's my last day of culinary school or whatever. And so then I start going up north. I'm heading to New York and then NBC calls me and they said, hey, this is NBC in New York. We need to do an interview with you. I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. I'm going to be in New York in a few hours anyways. They said, dude, we're going to send a limo to come pick you up. We want you to meet us in Central Park and we're going to do an interview with you. I'm like, okay, cool. So I do the interview and next thing I know, like Fox and Friends is like, hey, can you come see us tomorrow morning? You know, first thing in the morning, we'll send a limo to come pick you up. And
look at your crazy ass just getting limos sent to you randomly.
I'm getting chauffeured around like Donald Trump right now in a limo. I'm feeling all this energy. This is beautiful, you know?
That's
so
cool.
Then I go on, I'm doing Fox and Friends and the whole thing was really cool. And then I'm doing like 10 radio interviews a day and like you repeat the story over and over again.
Right,
I feel like
right.
a sexual assault victim, like just doing the story over and over again. I'm like, God, I can't just get over this story, the trauma. It's like
General Powell was so handsome. And
yeah,
I'm just so
taken back. You know, I'm like, dude, really? The whole thing was like less than 5 minutes of my life. You know what I mean? I feel like I robbed the liquor store. Like, dude, it was such a brief incident. Like, why is it such a big deal? You know, I'm like, I changed the tire. No big deal. Nobody really cared, you know? And then
so you were
like,
on the side of the road for 8 minutes and spent like 80 minutes talking about
it. Yeah.
You know?
I'm just reenacting this whole story over and over again. And, repeat how it happened again. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. Again, there I was. I had no clue who it was because I was doing 55 miles an hour.
That's awesome. And then, of course, your friends and family, I'm sure. Did you have, like, friends from all over the place, like, just call you and be like, I just saw you on the news. I haven't talked to you, like, in, like, 8 years. What?
Yeah, and they're like, why do you carry that cat around on your face? And I'm like, it's my jam. It's the way I roll now, you know? It's cold. We don't know when it's going to be winter in Virginia or D.C., you know? It could be winter any day.
And then as quick as it starts, it's over. What, like 3 days, and then
the whole thing is still going on. You know, I'm trying to make this like a bar mitzvah. That's like, you know, it's been 4 days. Let's keep it going. You know, put me up on a chair. You know,
you mean Hanukkah? Heads. That's the one that's 8 days, right? Is that what you mean?
Hanukkah's 8 days, but these bar mitzvahs go a long time too. My wife's Jewish. You know what I mean? So it's like, when are you guys going to stop partying? It's not like. Like, Jewish people can party, man. I'm not going to lie to you. You're like, they just make up a reason, you know? It's the best, you know? And so my wife is Jewish. Ergo, my kids are Jewish, you know? And yep. I'm still a Gentile, you know? So at the house, it's like duck, duck, goose. It's like Jew, Gentile. I'm like, I'm always out, man. I'm like, when will you guys ever accept me into the community for real?
You got to be there a while before you're a member of the tribe, okay?
It has to be that way. I don't know. Don't worry about it. I'm on my way. I'll be part of the club. I make all kinds of great food now.
That is awesome. And see, that's what I mean about you. Like, we start talking about changing the tire. We start talking about going viral. And now we're like, you know, talking about Manischewitz and like old yeah. Jewish men named Murray. I mean, you're a trip, man.
Go with it. I know it. I know it.
I just want to probably wrap it up and say, man, I appreciate like hell you not only sharing that story that the world only got a glimpse of for 4 minutes on the network news, but filling in all the different layers of it. And
me like you, know, you look back and you have just such fond memories and stuff.
Right.
It shapes who you are for the rest of your life. Like, that is your identity.
And it's a great identity. It continues to evolve, as does yours. Tell me more about where I can find stuff about Chef Mad Dog Maggart online.
Hey, I'm on every social media channel, you know, so if there's more out there, I want to try to get out there. You know, I don't know what Tumblr is. I thought that was a setting on the dryer. So you can find me out there on Chef Mad Dog Maggart. And
okay.
So I'm going to be putting some stuff together. I want to make it so other veterans and stuff can chime in. I'm going to be cooking stuff live and taking requests from people.
All right, well, let's do two things. Let's commit to following back up when you get your sausage business going and
yeah.
when that's up and running. And I want to see
my
some of those.
My sausage game is strong.
I want to see some of those big, beautiful sausages. And two, let's make another date. Let's reach out to Colin Powell, see if we can have you come by, whip up some lunch in the studio.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
see if we can, talk some. I don't know, talk some auto repair, talk some sausage, talk some food, and just basically talk some good times with the general.
Yeah, that would be great. The guy is a beast. When I get to be above the age that I am, closer to the age that he is, you know. I mean,
yeah, eighth decade, right.
He's an octogenarian, 81 years old, man. And he's like, dude, I'm changing my tire, man. I'm like, I got this. I'm like, I wouldn't want to make him mad in the dark alley at night. You know,
that's
I don't
awesome.
Know what he would do, you know. He'd probably give you a bro hug or something like that, you know. But I'm like, he's fit.
That is awesome, man. Chef Tony Mad Dog Maggart, always a pleasure. Come back and see me real soon, man.
Yeah, I will.